the priesthood of believers in worship. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews 10, verse 22. To whom coming ye also as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. There is nothing about which there is more confusion than this matter of priesthood. We surely need the Spirit of God to unravel us from all the entanglements of men. We have seen that the cross removes sin, and that the living God implants the living seed of a righteous life within us. We have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, a haven of unruffled calm. We were once in transgression, but our Lord has cleansed us from every stain. We now draw nigh to God within the holiest, and do so to exercise a priestly ministry before God. Notice first the meaning of the priesthood. The reality of spiritual things in the New Testament is found in the pattern of the Old. There we see that priests were made such by birth, and that their function was to offer to God both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Hebrews 5 and verse 1. The Levites separated themselves from evil and went forth out of the camp at Moses' call. For this they were made into a priestly tribe, which God had intended all his people to be. Exodus 19 and verse 6. Thus the lives of the Levites were spent in nearness to God, and they presented to God what was pleasing to him. Provision was made in the sacrifices for those who thus ministered before God. They ate of the selfsame victim in which God had so great satisfaction. Here then we see the realities of the New Testament, that those only are priests who are thus born of God, who give themselves wholly to the Lord and have their all in him. Their refreshment, health, and vigor flow from feeding upon Christ and his sacrifice. Those who have not separated themselves from evil cannot approach God, but only those who know forgiveness through the death of Christ, the God-chosen sacrifice, and who have their transgressions transferred to him and borne by him. All such believers are priests unto God, as 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 makes very clear. Secondly, notice the functions of the priesthood. We have seen that the true believer in the Lord Jesus has liberty and a boldness to approach God. But there are differing degrees of approach, as the Old Testament makes evident. There were three compartments in the tabernacle, thus three degrees of approach. There were some who were ever in the outer court, then a chosen few who went into the holy place, then one who went into the holiest of all. Through our Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work, believers now have boldness to enter into the holiest of all in the heavenlies. Not as servants, not as friends, but as dear children. They may now speak to God on the throne of his glory without restraint, the liberty of a child in the fond presence of his Father. Here before God, the function of his priestly ones is to offer sacrifices. It is not the presentation of our bodies for service, as in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, nor is it primarily for prayer or intercession, because such believers have come to him by God's prescribed way. They are qualified to offer spiritual sacrifices. That way to God is described in a threefold manner. It is first of all a new and living way, which was not opened as yet in Old Testament times. And thus you will notice the absence of any endearing language in addressing God. Secondly, it is consequent, it is consecrated for us, trodden first by the sacred feet of our Savior, the Son of God, so that we may approach and address God as our Father. And thirdly, it is through the veil, that is, his flesh, rent on Calvary's cross, and so opening the way for God's glory to shine out, and believing men to go in. Hebrews 10:19-20. The house which believers are is a spiritual house. I am writing this after a visit to the vastly expensive and magnificent university in Tulsa, Oklahoma, built by a religious leader. The buildings, which are full of symbolism, are beautiful, and imposing edifices costing many millions of dollars. One such is the very plush chapel called Christ's Chapel. But this kind of thing is not for this age. God's house is a spiritual entity of living believers, and the offerings of the Lord's priests are not material, but spiritual. Here we part company then with all symbolism and all ritualistic worship, as in the Roman Mass, a dreadful error. With those who are the Lord's people, there must be no emphasis on magnificent buildings, but rather on the quality of spiritual life. When we come before the Lord, we are in the realm of the spiritual and unseen, and not in the realm of what is temporal and material. If we close our eyes in worship, it is not ritualistic. It is only to help us to shut out that realm of material and visible things. Since the sacrifices to be offered are now spiritual, we are not to come with special and gorgeous vestments, or with incense, or altars, or crucifixes, or holy water, or bodily postures. These belong to this material world, whereas our approach is as a spiritual people in a spiritual realm. And what are the sacrifices which we are to offer? What delights God? What satisfies God? Nothing except the different aspects of his beloved Son. One time we present this about him and his work. Another time it is that about him and his work. But all is an offering of Christ. It is this which ravishes God's heart and ours. The substance of true worship is to offer to the Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit, the different facets of our Lord's person and sacrifice when he offered himself to God. There are differing grades of such offerings to God. You will notice in the burnt offering of Leviticus 1 that some brought of the herd a bullock, some a sheep, some a fowl, some turtle doves or young pigeons. Leviticus 1, verses 3, 10, 13, 14. These may well represent differing grades of apprehension of Christ, of heart devotion to the Lord God. And how much do we bring of Christ to God? That is the important. How much do we bring of Christ and his finished work to present to God? Listen to the words of Miss Elizabeth Dark. Through thy precious body broken inside the veil, oh, what words to sinners spoken inside the veil. Precious as the blood that bought us, perfect as the love that sought us, holy as the Lamb that brought us inside the veil. When we see thy love unshaken outside the camp, scorned by man, by God forsaken outside the camp, thy loved cross alone can charm us. Shame need now no more alarm us. Glad we follow, naught can harm us outside the camp. Lamb of God, through thee we enter inside the veil. Cleansed by thee we boldly venture inside the veil. Not a stain, a new creation, ours is such a full salvation. Lo, we bow in adoration inside the veil. Unto thee, the homeless stranger outside the camp, forth we hasten, fear no danger outside the camp. Thy reproach, far richer treasure than all Egypt's boasted pleasure, drawn by love that knows no measure outside the camp. Soon thy saints shall all be gathered inside the veil, all at home no more be scattered inside the veil. Naught from thee our hearts shall sever, we shall see thee, grieve thee never. Praise the Lamb shall sound forever inside the veil. Amen.